An interesting medrash in Parshas Va'era, the first medrash in Rabbah, comparing and contrasting Moshe to Shlomo HaMelech. Now, this isn't a very common comparison. Typically, Moshe is compared to Eliyahu. Moshe is compared to Yosef, to Yehoshua, to David HaMelech. You rarely find associations between Moshe and Shlomo HaMelech. What do Moshe and Shlomo share in common? How are they different? So to help frame this, I want to specifically talk about a middle section of this Midrash and then elaborate around it. Sarai's name is changed by swapping in a hey for a yud. She's transformed from Sarai into Sarah. That name change isn't as obvious as Avram's name change. Avram transitions from Avram, a local father or highly regarded person, Avram, into Avraham Av Hamon Goyim. He now has an international agenda. But presumably the name change from Sarai to Sarah is also necessary for her to meet her mission, to meet her agenda. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays the Yud, because the Yud was ousted from Sarai's name and substituted for by a Hey, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to compensate the Yud. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu compensate the Yud? So we all know this Medrash by appending it to the beginning of Hoshea and Parsha Shlach and transforming Hoshea to Yehoshua. What does it mean to compensate letters? Why do letters have to be preserved? So this Medrash associates the compensation and the preservation of the Yud and the reinstitution of the Yud, the beginning of Hoshea's name, with Shlomo HaMelech. Because Shlomo HaMelech reads the Pasuk in Shoftim, which bans a king from having too many horses, too much gold and silver, too many wives. And Shlomo indulges. Shlomo takes advantage. He has more wives than necessary. He has more horses. Because he reads the Pasuk, Lo yarbe lo susim, he can't have too many horses. Lo yarbe lo nashim, there shouldn't be too many women, too many wives. V'lo yasir levava, because all these riches and conveniences and affluence and wives and diplomacy and palace intrigue, they'll just distract him from his duties, from his mission, and from his humility, and from his avodas Hashem as a king. Lo yasur levava. So Shlomo says, look, I know that these measures are necessary in general, but I'm above the fray. And I'll have as many wives as I deem. I'll gather as many horses and gold and silver as my heart desires, my heart craves, but I'll make sure that it doesn't bleed and it doesn't trickle into lo yasur levava. Ani arba, he says, I'll have as many as I'd like, v'libi lo yasur, my heart won't wander. Namely, he's questioning Hashem's divine will. He's smarter than Hashem. He's going to cut the Torah off at the pass. He'll circumvent the Torah's logic. He'll violate an isser because he believes, A, that the isser is tethered to a particular reason, namely distraction, and he's above distraction. And he makes one of two possible mistakes, either by trying to identify a reason for the isser, maybe there are other factors he's not aware of, or, of course, by holding himself above the fray and not realizing that he's a human being like other human beings. But essentially, this pasuk, which is laced with yuds, lo yarbe, shouldn't have too many, lo yarbe lo kesesism, lo yarbe lo nashim, lo yasir levavo, this is a pasuk which is dominated and driven by yuds. He decides he doesn't have to worry about the yuds. He's above the yuds. So essentially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting the eternity and the integrity and the infallibility or the immutability of Torah by preserving yud. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's a very famous line, Shlomo v'elef kayotziba. There can be 1,000 Shlomos, you betail them, they'll come and go. The kotzim imech, and even a small letter of the Torah, and of course, yud is the smallest letter of the Torah, it almost doesn't have a shape, even the smallest letter of the Torah, eni bevatel. So because the yuds of this pasuk were assailed by Shlomo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is particularly sensitive to yuds. There are many name changes in the Torah, and there are many, but it's the yud of Sarai, because it's such a small letter, because you may think that we could just round out the numbers and ignore the letter being omitted. So the name change from Sarai into Yehoshua is a way not just of compensating a letter for its deducted place in the Torah, but it's to protect the immutability and unchangeability of Torah against Shlomo's mistakes, Shlomo's assault on this lo yarbe lo nashim, lo yarbe lo susim, lo yasu levava. Now, Shlomo is the foil. Shlomo is the one who fails. And in fact, the Medrash is very critical about him by quoting a pasuk from Mishlei. In this pasuk of Mishlei, we encounter the Mishlei Perek Lamed, various nicknames, at least according to Chazal, of Shlomo. Divrei Agur ben Yake. Now, why was Shlomo, at least according to Chazal, why was his nickname Agur ben Yake? Because Agur means to gather, to assemble, le'egor. Yake means to spit out, literally to regurgitate, to vomit. So therefore, he's someone who gathered a lot of Torah, a lot of Torah knowledge, a lot of wisdom, and then he just spit it out and ruined it decomposed it by violating the Torah's will. Sounds like part of Shlomo's failure was he was too smart, and sometimes when you're too creative and you gather too much, what are the limits of creativity? How far is too much? What are the boundaries of creativity? There's too much agur, and because of too much agur, it led to yake, too much Torah knowledge, too much Torah gathering. When you gather something, you're not just monotonously or menially gathering. You're gathering, you're assembling, you're associating, you're cataloging, you're intuiting, you're creative. And sometimes creativity overruns the boundaries of submission to the will of Hashem. It's a classic question. I teach in yeshiva, and I make every effort to turn the boys into creative learners of Torah, to place them in the middle of the conversation, to encourage them to challenge literally every line of Tosfos. Sometimes we spend hours challenging a line of Tosfos, a logic of Tosfos. The point is not to be disrespectful, is to be more reverential. And the more that you challenge, the more you understand, the more. But certainly in the world of halacha, let's say, that empowerment is a little bit more dangerous. Typically, it's the dividing line between halachic behavior and halachic fidelity and the world of the Beis Medrash. In the world of the Beis Medrash, that you try not to accept authority, that Tosfos says something, therefore must be right, because you want to understand Tosfos better, and because there are other opinions in the Beis Medrash, Tosfos, the Ramban, the Rashba. So the only way to understand Tosfos is to question every move he makes and to better understand it and to contrast it with others. In the world of halacha, obviously, there are many opinions, but there's a culling of opinions, and there's a narrowing and a contouring. So just because Rashi has an opinion, or just because the Ravan has an opinion, once the Shulchan Aruch and Poskim have shaped halacha, there's a submission that takes place, even at the expense of creativity. So this makes it sound like Shlomo's mistake, Shlomo's error, was too much knowledge. The next nickname of Shlomo in this pasuk in Mishlei is Etiel. Etiel provides a different basis for Shlomo's mistake. Etiel sounds like Etiel, the Medrash says. I'm like God. I'm smart enough. Human intellect can go to par with divine wisdom. We're equivalent. And that sounds obviously a little more sinister. It's not just a mistake of having too much Torah and spitting it out, but there's an arrogance, there's a cockiness, there's a self-evaluation, deification. But either way, Shlomo is the foil. Shlomo falls into this trap, and because he falls into this trap, he essentially laments his own failure. And the lament of his failure is provided by him in Koheles Perek Beis. Ufanisi ani liros chachma. I've studied chachma, the holilus and frivolity, the sichlus and stupidity. Ki maha adam shiyavo achrei hamelech. Who is man that can question the king's wisdom and charter? Esa shekvar asahu. So this is, according to the Medrash, Shlomo's elegy or Shlomo's lament. Now what does this have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu? So the end of the Medrash highlights and parallels Moshe. Moshe also acted Shlomo-like. Moshe also questioned divine wisdom. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the end of Parashas Shmos, he's frustrated. He's flustered. He's pained. Lama harayosa lam hazeh. Why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did you dispatch me when Paro just mocked me? And of course, the Jews scorned me, and it led to a deterioration of their conditions. And Moshe is met with a similar response, at least initially, to Shlomo. Shem says, what do you mean? I promised you already that I would liberate them. And I told you it would be tough sledding. And I told you it wouldn't be smooth. And I told you that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. So what are you even asking? You're just like Shlomo, the language. V'chima hayalo laharher achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu es asher kvar asahu. Shem already revealed him. It's even in some ways, Moshe's mistake is even more egregious than Shlomo, because Hashem already delineated. He mapped out the arc of the liberation and the arc of redemption. He already informed Moshe that Pyro would be resistant. Shlomo, you could say, made an innocent literary mistake. He read the pasuk and chofed him, lo yarba lo nashim, lo yasur levavo. He didn't realize this is just editorial, but this isn't the only reason. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already mapped out and clear in uncertain terms to Moshe how arduous and strenuous and how much of a struggle is. So it's all expected, yet Moshe's complaining. So Moshe is in the same hot seat as Shlomo. And the pasuk in Koheles that critiques Shlomo is a pasuk that critiques Moshe. And now the Medrash becomes much more dramatic and threatening. Bikesh midas adin lifkoa b'Moshe. Biksha midas adin. So Moshe now deserves to be punished. And he isn't. And this is really the money shot. This is the second theme of this Medrash, not just the unknowability of Hashem and the distance that creates between human experience and the lack of questioning. But why was Moshe not punished? Here it is. L'fisha nistakel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebishvil tzari Yisrael diberki. Moshe wasn't questioning Hashem's will because he was a philosopher, because he wanted to take shortcuts in his own life, because he was personal inquiry. Moshe Rabbeinu was just suffering the pain of Am Yisrael. He's just frustrated that his people are working so hard. And that frustration boils over and leads him into a more assertive stance vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu than he would otherwise take. He's a little bit insolent. He's a little bit less reverential. He's a little bit more forward. And the answer is that Hashem allows that, tolerates that, and in some ways even desires it. The only way I could explain it emotionally is, especially if you're a parent listening to this, sometimes you've got children that are a little bit wise with you and salty and insolent, and but in many ways it's because they want a relationship with you. And some children are very respectful and submissive, and some children, they like toying with you and they like a different type, but they want a relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a child, Moshe Rabbeinu, to love his brothers so much that he importunes and prosecutes the needs of the other children, even if it comes at the cost of respect for the father. In the world of Chassidus, this is very, very prominent, where Chassidus Rabbanim would daven to Hashem with a healthy dose of chutzpah. My own term for this is desirable insolence, desirable chutzpah. Hashem, Levi Yitzchak probably is the one most associated with this, where he took a more aggressive stance in his tefillos with Hashem, not in any way heretical, but when you daven for yourself, when you think about yourself, the hierarchy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the unknowability, the distance, but when it's Am Yisrael, this has deep roots in Kabbalah, but even without Kabbalistic overlays, the Kedusha of Am Yisrael, the role of Am Yisrael, the suffering of Am Yisrael, the plight of Am Yisrael, when we daven for Am Yisrael, our tone changes and our interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is altered. And that's what makes this Medrash so powerful. I mean, I'm reading it as a Sefer, and this Sefer is about a four-page Medrash, because it's a more, there's less text, there's more commentary on the bottom. But for 3.5 pages, Moshe is identical to Shlomo. And then the sting, and then the turnaround, and then the transition, yet they're different. And Shlomo, and we know that he's punished, but he's certainly critiqued and reprimanded. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem, says Vayomer Lavani Hashem. There's a midas harachamim of the word Yudkei Vavkei, because Moshe Rabbeinu suffers the plight of the Jewish people, and it isn't about his own wandering and wandering.